This episode is brought to you by the Arvada Center, because they're kicking off their summer concert series in June. Relax under the stars at the Arvada Center's outdoor amphitheater and take in acts like Melissa Etheridge, Big Richard, Tower of Power, Preservation Hall Jazz Band, The Spin Doctors, and so much more. Concerts are scheduled for June through September. You can find a whole schedule of events and get your tickets today at arvadacenter.org. That's arvadacenter.org. Today on CityCast Denver, DIA is in the news again, and this time it's about a legal battle over two local cheeseburger empires. We dig into what alleged bribery, a retired FBI agent, and a car chase have to do with a massive restaurant contract known as the Four Pack. Plus, our picks for your upcoming almost Halloween weekend. Today is Thursday, October 19th. I'm Bree Davies, and here's what Denver's talking about. Newsletter editor Peyton Garcia, hello.
Hey, Bree.
And producer Paul Caroli, hi.
Hey, good morning, Bree.
It's Thursday. We're talking about food news, hot goss in the food world. This time, we're talking about eating at the airport, one of our favorite places to talk about. Business Den had a story this week that opened up this like kind of whole can of worms of this ongoing lawsuit. And it all revolves around the airport and how DIA chooses which restaurants go into it. Paul, can you explain what's going on?
I'd be happy to, Bree. And just to preface, I'm calling this, and I'm quite proud of this, the juicy DIA burger scandal, which, I mean.
Oh, this is such a Paul story.
I love it. Of course I love it. Of course I love it. Anyway, here are the facts. So 8 years ago, DIA said, hey, we've got these four spots opening up in the airport, two restaurant spaces, one brew pub, and a coffee shop. And they were like, who's going to run these spots? Which restaurants are we going to put in here? And this was such a big deal at the time and such a potentially lucrative contract that they named it. They called it the Four Pack.
So wild. So wild.
I know. So two bidders emerged. There was a local group representing Cherry Cricket, which... great burgers, iconic institution, and the Wincoop Brewing, that's all one company. And then there's this other company from Michigan that represents Smash Burger, which was also founded here. And that is important.
I just want to just put it out there. I did not know Smash Burger was founded here. Pei, did you know that?
Yeah, actually, because they're tied to, is it Illegal Pete's? Is that who they're tied to, Paul?
No, gosh, who is it?
I don't know.
They're tied to another
Bad Daddy's Burger Bar.
No, they're tied to like a sandwich shop. Snarfs, the Snarfs, Subway people. It was the Subway people. Anyways,
I have no idea.
Yes, I did know because they're tied.
Somebody's got mom brain over here.
Yeah. Well, they're tied to some sandwich shop. I don't know.
Anyway, anyone who's eaten a Smash Burger at DIA in the last 8 years will tell you who won that contract. But the Cherry Cricket people at the time were, I guess, a little bit upset about how the bidding went, because that's how it would work. Like each group would make a bid and they'd say, we can do it for this much money or we'll give you these terms. And then the airport chose the Smashburger people. So those lawsuits happened. They were dormant for a while. But earlier this year, this whole thing came back up, according to Business Den, when two people who were affiliated with the Michigan company and Smashburger pleaded guilty to a charge of, I'm not making this up, bribing a Florida airport executive over a contract very much like this one.
They have allegedly been playing dirty.
This seems
allegedly.
They've said that these like allegations are totally unsubstantiated. To me, it's just like completely spelled out. Like it's obvious what happened, in my opinion.
And then they were like, just ignore that Four Pack deal problem bribe issue in Florida. You didn't see that. Okay.
Peyton, what do you think happened? What's your theory here?
So I read like four Business Den articles on this. I went all the way back to 2016. So DIA Brewing, the plaintiffs in this lawsuit, they were saying that it was obvious that the Michigan group was not, they were not qualified. They didn't meet the requirements for this bid, whereas they did. And so they were saying like you had to have a certain amount of experience and then a certain amount of revenue. Hmm. And one of their pitches, which was Tom's Urban Kitchen and Brewery, that wasn't even like a real restaurant yet. That was just a concept. It was something that they were still working on.
Interesting.
And so it's like they didn't have experience or revenue to show. They didn't meet any of the requirements. So they shouldn't have got the bid.
Well, you're sounding a lot like the attorney for DIA Brewing, which is the Cherry Cricket Wincoop side, who said, this case is about a conspiracy. In 2015, the airport gave out the largest concession contract ever. The evidence will show that a highly placed airport official, Bhavesh Patel, steered that contract to the defendants who were his close friends, who he had worked with before, and who he became a consultant for later.
Yeah. And the judges, so there's like a voting situation that happens in this bid, whatever. And four of the seven judges, like, straight up were like, dude, this is clearly rigged.
Really? Interesting.
Yes.
Also, to go back to the requirements, was like to show revenue and like, acknowledge it's a brand. It's something people know. And I think that was Lee Driscoll from the cricket, Cherry Cricket side of its argument, right? Was like, everybody knows the Cherry Cricket. How could they possibly not consider us? And this is maybe, I don't know. Now I'm thinking differently now that with what you just shared, Peyton.
There was also, I don't know if you guys saw this part, you had to kind of dig back, but there was a retired FBI agent who got involved. Did you guys read about this guy?
No.
Tell us about him.
So he was consulting with DIA Brewing. So after they filed the lawsuit, he's a former FBI agent, and he was passing along information to not retired FBI people who were looking into this. And they had a whole article about him talking with this whistleblower that came forward. And this whistleblower came forward and was like, yeah, I know for a fact that Bhavesh Patel was like, he rigged it and blah, 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 blah. And this FBI agent was like, okay, well, let me, you know, will you swear to that in court? And this guy said yes, but then he started dodging the FBI agent, and it led to like a high-speed car chase on I-70.
What?
And then the FBI agent was talking to other DIA informants, and they were saying that they were afraid for their lives, that the people at FTE, the Michigan company, that they were going to get in trouble or attacked or whatever for coming forward about this contract and the bid rigging.
Wow.
That's incredible.
Super wild.
Oh my God. If that feels like crazy to anyone listening right now, let me just remind you how lucrative these restaurants at the airport are.
Yeah.
The most revenue in the state. The restaurant that makes the most money in the whole state is a restaurant you probably have never even heard of. It's called Timberline. I think it's a steak place. It's in Concourse C.
I pass it a lot.
These restaurants make
so much
money.
I've never been
in
there, but I've seen that restaurant, and I literally don't know anyone that works there or anyone that eats there, and it is the most profitable restaurant in the state.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so apparently these four restaurants, the Smashburger, the Tom's, the coffee place that the company that won the bid ended up opening, they made $18 million in sales last year. So all that like secret agent car chase stuff is like, okay, that's pretty high stakes actually.
Yeah.
It's
also
nuts.
Smashburger is now owned by that global fast food chain Jollibee.
Oh, really? The Filipino chain? That's cool.
Uh-huh. But this interesting. That purchase came about in 2018. So that was after this whole thing started.
Yeah, Smashburger's really blown up.
Well, Smashburger was still independent at that time. But as of 2018, they're owned by this massive global fast food company.
Apparently, they have 240 locations in the United States right now. I didn't realize how big Smashburger was. But that's a Denver success story that's been unnoticed.
Yeah, for sure. They're all over the world, too.
I honestly had no idea there were two Smashburgers at DIA.
Oh, yeah? I can't picture them. I never go to these places.
I don't. What is the premise of Smashburger other than I'm assuming they smash the burger?
Yeah, they
do
smash.
You might have gotten it in one there.
Yeah, they.
That's it. Oh. That's
Our
the
producer
big...
Olivia says good fries.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So, okay.
Well, so I guess we know how we feel about Smashburger. How do you guys feel about Cherry Cricket? Like, to me, Cherry Cricket seems like a brand that would be at the airport, but I don't know if that necessarily weighs into this at all. Because I think for a lot of people, Smashburger is probably their spot too.
Cherry Cricket's better. Cherry Cricket should be there.
100%.
They would be.
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, they should.
Cherry
be
Cricket is so representative of Denver in a way that, like, I don't know. Smashburger just feels like someone else's thing now, with this Filipino restaurant chain taking over. And whereas Cherry Cricket feels like so intertwined with like the neighborhoods where those individual locations are, the new one in Littleton, the classic Cherry Creek one, like I will go back there over and over. And yeah, maybe it's a little more expensive than it used to be, but they always deliver. I love their food. I love it.
I just wanted to have you guys say it so I didn't sound like the same old Brie that's like, of course, Cherry Cricket, the best. It is intertwined in Denver's everything. It is Denver. But you just said it for me. Thanks, Paul. I'm with you.
Guys, my pleasure. It was Quiznos. Rick Shaden of Quiznos. Of Quiznos' demise is the founder of Smashburger.
No way!
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. The founder of Quiznos went on to, I guess, make this huge company and sell it off to this Jollibee. That's so interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So the technique of the Smashburger originated in the Great Lakes region, which maybe is part of its Midwestern lore. But
okay.
I can see, but this is rooting it with the Quiznos, because Quiznos is like that first fast casual chain kind of thing that started that story for Denver too. Interesting. Just got to dig a little deeper. Okay. So at any rate, what happened? It went to trial.
Well, the trial began in Denver District Court earlier this week. And in a surprising turn of events, I'm going to quote from Business Den here. Jurors were sent home 5 minutes after they arrived Tuesday morning, while lawyers for both sides discussed and then reached a confidential settlement, bringing the case to a close.
The world will never know.
Can I just say I would be so bummed if I was those jurors?
Yeah.
This would have been such a fun one. And it's like, basically, you're just like, okay, do you like Smashburger better or Cherry Cricket better? I would have so much to say. I would love to be a juror on this.
That is the question at the core of this. Like, is it credible that they would choose Smashburger over Cherry Cricket?
I don't know. I have to say I would definitely like a Cherry Cricket in DIA. That would be a nice touch.
Oh, they would make buco bucks.
Well, and like for those of us that are familiar with it, you know, not just for travelers, it's like, it's got the vibe. It would probably have an aquarium. It'd have some hockey stuff. Yes. It would be like, they'd have their green booths in the wood. And it would just be like, oh, I'm home. You know, like got off an airplane, I'm waiting, you know, and I can sit down and have I like a little cricket burger with American cheese and mushrooms. Ooh, so good. So good.
Give me a chocolate milkshake while I'm waiting for my flight.
Or that crazy burger, Paul, that we, did you, oh, I don't think you could try it. It was like poblano, fried poblano pepper, macaroni and cheese, raspberry. Oh, it was insane.
It was just so funny. This was such a long, like, just like salacious case, and
for such a bummer, like such a deflated ending.
It was just like, okay, like, you know, the former FBI agent who was part of the high speed car chase, he was scheduled to take the stand as a witness, and now we don't even get to hear from him.
We were denied the trial of the year.
I know,
this could have been something.
Well, but before we move on, how do you guys feel about the local food at DIA? Does it matter to you when you go, you know, when you're at the airport, where do you eat?
I'll typically buy a bag of almonds at Hudson News. That's my go-to. Maybe a newspaper.
Paul.
I do. I like to read a physical newspaper at the airport.
So you're the guy with the newspaper and the bag of almonds.
Yeah.
Peyton, someone with better taste, where do you eat at the airport?
You know, I like to dine at airports when I'm traveling. I like to go early enough to have a meal. Not at DIA, though, because, like, I'm always, why wouldn't I just be at home doing that?
Yeah, you're not on vacation yet when you're at
right.
our airport.
So, unfortunately, I don't ever dine at the airport. I go on really, really early morning flights, and I grab something from McDonald's or the bagel shop, and that's that. Which is too bad, because I feel like I think they do have good restaurants in there, and they have some good ones that are slated to open there. But I'm never going to find myself in a situation where I'm dining at DIA.
It's interesting. I think it's actually a lot of people's experience. And like those restaurants, maybe they're really more for people who are having a layover, to just get a little taste of what Denver's about. So in that way, I guess maybe Smashburger is a better call, because that's like a more familiar brand.
No take
still
backs,
founded
Paul.
Here.
You already cast your vote for Cherry Cricket.
And that is where my heart is. Brie, how about you? How about you? Where do you eat at the airport?
I think I said this on our DIA show many moons ago. I'm a Tamales by La Casita person. So it's there or McDonald's. And we don't need to get into my personal beef with McDonald's that I've been having.
Yeah, you are beefing with.
I've been in a standoff with my local McDonald's for too many weeks now. Well, we'd love to hear. Maybe you're a person from Denver who loves to eat at DIA. So give us a call at 720-500-5418. Let us know where you like to eat at DIA. Again, the News You Can Chew hotline is open at 720-500-5418. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be back. This episode is brought to you by Pine Melon, the farmer's market delivered. Pine Melon is a next-generation grocery delivery app that partners with over 200 farmers, ranchers, and producers in Colorado to help make fresh, locally sourced foods available to the Denver community at fair prices. Get high-quality meats, eggs, and dairy from small local farms, fresh baked breads from local bakeries, and more, as well as all of your favorite pantry staples. Best part is, Pine Melon offers same-day delivery to Denver and soon Boulder within a two-hour window, no subscription necessary. Save time in your busy schedule and get fresh and healthy groceries delivered right to your door. Join the movement and support local today. Use promo code CityCastDenver for $75 off your first delivery at pinemelon.com. That's pinemelon.com. And we're back. It's time for the official CityCast Denver, maybe for your weekend, as in maybe you'll see us there. Because as usual, there's so many cool things happening in Denver this coming weekend, but there's only one where you might see us. Pei, you round these up for us in our newsletter, Hey Denver, every single week. You've got a couple picks. You're going to throw them out here and let Paul and I decide what's going on in Denver this weekend.
Yeah, well, because we're so close to Halloween, there is nothing that is not Halloween themed going on. So
go figure.
This week we are doing all Halloween events, but they're all four different styles. So we'll kind of get to decide which type of Halloween vibe you're going for. All right.
Okay.
So the first one is carving and cocktails. And this is happening at the Terminal Bar in Union Station, which, you know, that's just gorgeous. Place to hang anyway, $65, but that ticket gets
you
a pumpkin
for that.
Yeah, for $65 you get to use the restroom at the Union,
one
at
of the
Union
perks.
Station.
You get to use the secret gold-plated toilet.
It gets you a pumpkin, all the carving tools, two beverages of your choice, and access to a nacho bar. And it is outdoor. It's on the patio. So hope for good weather or pack a sweater.
I know, I was going to say, I was at a birthday party outside last weekend and it was a chilly. So
yeah,
it's pack layering your season for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
That sounds fun though. Nacho bar. I'm into that.
Yeah. Honestly, the nacho bar drew me in. It makes it feel like the $65 is worth it. I also like a pumpkin carving party. I like to set the mood when I'm carving pumpkins.
Okay. What else we got?
What else? Okay. Also on Saturday is the 6th annual Broadway Halloween Parade, which they tout themselves as the only Halloween parade in Denver.
Hmm.
It takes place along Broadway from 5th to Alameda. And I was looking at some of the photos from previous years on Facebook. And if you, I think you want to go to this if you're someone who's really into like insanely cool over the top costumes. Like there was this guy dressed up as Aladdin and he was riding a magic carpet, which was actually just like one of those single scooter things that the kids ride. You know what I mean? Single wheel hoverboard things.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. Those are fun. I don't know what that's called.
Anyways,
I rode one once. It's fun.
It looks cool. And there's like the cars get all decked out and there's marching bands and performers. So
I'm already going to be there because Greg is playing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. At one of the bars along the strip. It's a new bar, and I don't know the name of it. I wish I did, but I will definitely be in the area.
Cool.
All right. Yeah. So go Bree spotting this weekend.
Please don't. Please don't come up to me. I'm just kidding.
If you see Bree, please do not approach her. She bites. Okay. Next one. Also on Saturday, Spirits and Spirits taking place. You guys are really getting tickled by that.
That was a good joke, Faye. Sorry, that was a good joke.
Thanks.
Okay,
this is taking
Spirits
place
and Spirits?
At the, yeah, it's at the 4 Mile Historic Park, which I just think is a cool place to be. But this one is kind of for like, I don't know, as Bree would say, the spooky witches out there. It's not your typical like trunk or treat type situation. It is a celebration to explore Victorian spiritualism. There's going to be a metaphysical market. There's going to be a mourning ceremony. There's going to be aura photography. Yeah, mourning, M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G, which is something I've been seeing more and more this year that I've never really seen years previously. But I keep seeing things about like experience what a Victorian mourning ceremony was like.
Oh my gosh.
I wonder what that means.
I know.
What that would be like.
Spiritualism was this like sort of like religious social movement at the turn of the last century. And it was a lot about the afterlife and contacting our relatives that had passed on, because, you know, a modern medicine is not that old, and a lot of, you know, previous generations lost a lot of family members. So this was a way for them to contact them. But it sort of got into public or into popular culture. I feel like the person that wrote Sherlock Holmes was really into it.
Sir Arthur Conan Doyle.
Yeah, I could be wrong, but
that would make sense. That kind of stuff comes up in those books.
Actually, I think that's right. I listened to a criminal episode once where, he was like real into seances, I think.
Yeah, seances are definitely part of this. They would do these like performances sometimes to like conjure the dead and blah, blah, blah. But there's this great podcast called American Hysteria, and they do a whole deep, they do a deep dive into spiritualism. But this sounds fun, and I like this kind of creepy.
You're honestly really selling me.
The Victorian era creepy is good.
I know. This sounds really cool to me. And then you get to like be at the park at night, and it just sounds real spooky.
I love it. I'm interested.
That's a great option.
With that high bar set, my last event is Trick or Treat Trail at the Denver Zoo, because you guys know I love the Denver Zoo. And you get to go at night, which is always an interesting experience to do something that you normally do during the day at nighttime. And this is family friendly. There's going to be trick or treat candy stations, special snacks and bevies, pumpkin carving, and a silent disco. And it's only $20.
That's a nice family friendly option too, I would just say. That's always nice. The zoo is like a never fail for that. That's what I love about it, is you can bring whoever with you. So that sounds cute.
Yeah, that would be fun. I don't think that one's for me. I think the Victorian morning experience thing at 4 Mile, that sounds like a standout.
Yeah, it seems pretty obvious that's what we're all really into.
Oh, I totally am into it.
For me, 100%.
Okay, so that's our pick. Our official CityCast member maybe for your weekend is spirits and spiritualism?
Spirits and spirits, because I guess I didn't mention that there's also going to be spirits that you can drink there.
I wondered. Okay, spirits and spirits at the 4 Mile Historic Park. If you want more great ideas for things happening over the weekend and all week long, you can sign up for our newsletter, Hey Denver, at denver.citycast.fm. Well, Peyton and Paul, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks, Bree.
Thanks, Bree.
That's all for today here on CityCast Denver. If you enjoyed the show, why not take a minute to tell Lee Driscoll about us? Rate the show wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe to our morning newsletter, Hey Denver, and learn more about us at denver.citycast.fm. We'll be back tomorrow morning with more news from around the city. See you later.
I would say our timing is on point today.
It is really
just in
off.
General, the timing of everything.
I was going to say, we're all over the place today.
We are all over the place today. I don't know what's going on.